Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The Homeworks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
It's the Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
And David.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Raniel Von Daniel. All hail the king of ginger ales, Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Doing okay. I'm trying out a new little sound setup here. Problem is, I got this desk. I got all this stuff under the desk. So, you know, like you can't like get like a comfortable distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can't like get close enough, but you're like I feel like I'm too far away. And
no man's land right now.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. But, you know, we're working on it.
Right. Guess what?
What?
I met the Hardy Boys last week.
Yeah, I know.
The Hardy Boys. Hey, listen, be happy for me. Don't be sad for you. Be happy for me.
Okay, you're right.
Don't be sad for you. One half of the Hardy Boys met the Hardy Boys in the flesh. I was hesitant to bring up the story. I brought it up prior to them joining the show, and then Jones sure as shit brought it up to them in front of them. And then so I was forced into talking about the Hardy Boys, which if you've listened to this podcast for more than a minute, you know that that was the tag team that Davey and I created for WrestleMania 2000 for the N64 back in 2000.
Yes.
When and we were in the same dorm.
The greatest video game tag team duo ever, to the point where people would just simply walk out of the room when they had to verse us.
The match was and it was such an unfair advantage because that game was so good where if you were a tag team and you were like a committed tag team, if you had a singles match, so say Davey was fighting like Bessie.
Yep.
Then I would come to the ring with him and the third controller, I could use him. So if he like came over by the ropes, it was fucking unfair. But then we would just beat the bag out of guys, especially like the hardcore title, I feel like was always one of ours just because there was no DQ and it was just like impossibly, it's 2-on-1 the whole time.
And then there was like that awesome mechanic in that game too, where like if I was fighting someone 1-on-1, you might randomly just show up.
Yes.
Like during the match. And then you could control that guy too.
And then I just started, you know, just beat the brakes off him. And then we had that thing. We must have had, would you say like at least a dozen people in the dorm? Or might maybe exaggerating. Maybe it was like eight to 10 had their own character. Yeah. And we would keep track. We had all the belts. They had like a belt history of who had them. We would all compete in the Royal Rumble. We would all compete at these like pay-per-views. And it was like, I mean, we were committed to that. And so the Hardy Boys would just reign terror in the tag team division.
I would venture to say, and I've said this about other things, but I really believe that's the most fun you could have with your clothes on.
I think so. And sometimes they weren't. That's how into it we were. Sometimes we would just remove our draws and play the game. Shout out to Shark too. Shark was very good. He was the one guy that could break the Party Boy spirit. He had one creative wrestler that would he would get the better of us from time to time.
And I forget what it was. His finisher was just punching and kicking you until he knocked you out.
It was like 300 kicks that you couldn't break out of, and I couldn't do anything to help you. So say he was doing the move to Davey, I couldn't interrupt it. So you're like, stop him. I'm like, I'm trying. And he's just like kicking the shit out of you. And you're like,
I forget what it was called too. It was just like it just felt like a kick barrage.
It was insane. And so anyway, that game was the best. And so after the interview was over, both of them at separate times came up to me, and Jeff Hardy's like, so like, what were you like wearing? Like, what was like the attire?
We looked just like you, just with short hair.
I said, it's funny. And Matt was wearing like camo cargo pants. I'm like, we literally had those. And like, we would change the top and the bottom. And like, we look just like you guys, just like slightly different colors.
But just our faces. Yeah.
Yep. With our faces. And I think I may have
haircuts.
Had a band. And like, then, but you could do like three different attires. So when it was like a hardcore match, I think we went like camo, and I might have gone like face paint. And like, remember, you could tweak it slightly. I had one that looked a little bit more gym teachery, and then another that looked more just like the fucking Hardy Boys.
But it was always baggy cargos and something.
And then Matt Hardy, on the way out, he was like, well, maybe for like our next TLC match, we can get the Party Boys in it.
I'll be in it. Like, I said, I will put my body on the line for that.
I was like, dude, I couldn't, like, depending on how long the ramp is, like, I don't think I could make it down and then into the ring. I think I'd be like, I'm out. I don't know. Those guys are insane. They're still doing ladder matches. Jeff Hardy's 48, which is also surprising that he's not older than that, which means like when he was doing the TLC match at WrestleMania, he was 22.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts. And Matt's like 3 years older than him, but the nicest guys, they were awesome. And so
it seemed like a good, like it seemed like it was you. There's a lot of people with like, it takes them a while to kind of warm up. Like they were lubed up, greased and ready to go.
They were good dudes, and they were in studio, which always makes it better. And like, so the wrestling guys are always fun to talk to, but it's just like crazy. Like, out of all the different interviews that like I've done in my life, like if you were like 16-year-old me was going to sit down with the Hardy Boys, like that's as crazy on, like, to me, this is going to sound weird. That's almost as crazy as like sitting down and talking to Bill Belichick, which was also crazy the first time I did that. But it's like, high school me, like both of them kind of broke my brain that I talked about.
No, but I think that's that conversation you have with yourself when you're like, if you could go back and like talk to your 16-year-old self, be like, listen, some stuff's going to suck, but I'm going to tell you right now, I just talked to Matt and Jeff Hardy, like as a radio host, and you would have blown your 16-year-old mind.
Oh my God. Like that doesn't, like, how do you get there? How does that even happen?
So like, don't worry about it. It'll work out.
just figure it out. Figure it out along the way. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to, and let's get
to it.
Well, this week in Dorn.
Don't tip your hand too much because we have a spoiler-free portion, then a spoiler-full portion. Davey and I have not talked about this movie at all. In fact, the last time I talked to you, I had not seen the movie, and neither had you. So,
and that was about 24 hours ago.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Shout out to Shark doing a great job with his 3-on-3 tournament, raising money for the Medway Food Pantry.
Show me your elbow.
My elbow's fucked.
Show me your elbow.
My elbow's fucked and like
gashed.
I think there's some loose bodies in there.
Oh yeah.
Every time I like
some gravel in there,
I just keep like putting. I put it down the table during dinner. I like put it like on in the car, just like tapped it. I'm like, God damn it, sore as hell. Anyway, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine. Ryan, this is great news for you specifically.
Yes.
From is fromming to Netflix. You will soon be able to from. Not on MGM Plus, but on Netflix. So season 4 is rolling right now, and I don't know when this is happening, but at some point, all the seasons of From. So for everybody out there that hasn't seen it yet, there will be no excuses, as it'll be coming to Netflix. And dare I say, it's gonna take over. I think people are gonna get wind of this thing, and people are gonna be loving it. There's gonna be memes everywhere. There's gonna be GIFs and all kinds. People are gonna love this show once it becomes more mainstream.
And I can't wait to from all over my house.
Oh yeah, from a little bit over here. You can from over there in the, in the kitchen. You can from in the living room.
I'm actually experiencing a little pre-from right now.
Hey, listen, I don't blame you. You got to be careful with that. You can still get pregnant pre-from.
It's potent.
Yeah. Maybe more potent than the regular stuff.
Yeah.
than the regular stuff. Ryan, the box office this past weekend, the topic du jour, which we will get to coming up, was number one, and makes sense. It was its opening weekend, and everybody was anticipating this movie. But Obsession was number two at the box office domestically, $19 million. It is up to $188 million, but it made $19 million in its fifth weekend. This thing is a phenomenon.
And rightfully so. Like, usually it's like one of, like, Blair Witch kind of did, when Blair Witch did it, like, there, it was very split, you know, but this, I haven't met a single person who's like, no, that was awesome.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. And, you know, it's, this is great news. I think, for horror movie fans, for this kid, Curry Barker, who everything he does now going forward, you're going to want to see. For Indy, is it Navarette, the lead actress in
Never
this?
Read or Never Ready, yeah.
He should be in a bunch of other stuff. Somebody had a great, great idea, like a, whatever they call it, like wishful casting or whatever you want to do, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Satana from the DC universe. That'd fucking blow your brain.
That's right.
She'd be really good.
Or like Raven or someone like that. Like, she'd be like a good Raven.
She could do Raven. She could, yeah. She could probably do anything.
She wants. Oh,
fuck. Camera. Great. So Obsession was second, and it continues to rake in the money. Scary Movie was third. It did have a good week one, which was 2 weeks ago. This was the second week for Scary Movie. Although some of the reviews I've read about this are, it sucks and it's, quote, not funny. But I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
I just find that, now again, I think Scary Movie 2 is the exception, where I like thought Chris Elliott with the strong hand and the mashed potatoes was, I think, like, that's funny. But that's not like a spoof on anything. Like, to spoof, yeah. Like, all, remember, and there was like everything that had the word movie in it. Like, I've always had zero interest in any of that. Like, epic, you know, movie or like.
Disagree. Not another teen movie I was a fan of. Chris Evans, they spoofed all of like the.
That one's the best of them.
That was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, somebody had a good point. I was listening to some podcast and they were talking about how even the first Scary Movie, it is a little strange. Now, it was super successful and it did well. And I even thought some of it was funny. But they were making fun of movies that already were making fun of movies. Like, Scream,
yes, the whole Scream thing is making fun of those movies.
Scream is well aware of what it's doing. It's not super, it's not taking itself too seriously, and it's referencing all these other movies. And then Scary Movie comes in, like, we're gonna make fun of that. It's like, well, they're already doing that.
Like, what are you doing that? I mean, also, like, they lost me when they started spoofing non horror movies. So, like, they started spoofing like The Matrix.
Yeah, they're doing like a lot of sci-fi, and you're like, I guess we're dipping our toes in the sci-fi. So I've not seen Scary Movie. I won't see it in the theater. Backrooms came in fourth, made $12 million in its third week. So despite Backrooms having like a monster opening weekend, Obsession has already made more money than it, even though Backrooms was like $81 million. Like, Backrooms almost doubled Disclosure Day in its opening weekends, which is wild. And then Masters of the Universe was fifth. I'm getting the sense with Masters of the Universe is it's going to be like a overall a box office flop, but I bet it's going to be Dungeons and Dragons. I bet it's going to it's going to come to HBO or one of these, and we're all going to watch it, and we're all going to like think it's funny, and it's going to be decent.
So. Yeah, and I, from what I've heard, it's like funny, and like Jared Leto is like not being a dink, like he's actually trying to be funny in the movie.
I'm in on that. Which,
yeah.
And then last thing, Rod, you have started Widow's Bay.
I did. I saw the first two episodes, and I plan on finishing it probably this week.
Because like
you said, it's, and again, this is a show that's got horror aspects to it, but is like legitimately funny at parts. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So in a couple of weeks, next week, I think we're going to do a standalone next week on Widow's Bay, because the finale comes out. You know what's funny about this show? I figured it out about halfway through the season. It says it's Wednesdays on Apple. It's available like Tuesday at like 8 o'clock or like 9 o'clock. It's not even like a midnight release.
It's like, it's a midnight release on the West Coast, because all Apple stuff is West Coast.
No. But like midnight West
Coast. That doesn't make any sense.
No, right. No, it doesn't make any sense that it's really a Tuesday show. They just say it's a Wednesday.
It's the other way. Yeah.
I don't.
If it was 9 o'clock Pacific time, that would make sense.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, it's we'll do that one, and that one wraps up. It's been really fun. So I've enjoyed Widow's Bay. I'm also caught up on Cape Fear, which is also worth a watch. It's good. I don't know if it's like, it's not podcast standalone good, I don't believe, but something to watch if you're looking for that. All right, let's get to this.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Ready for the bisque? Proper bisque?
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it is the topic of the day. And today it is Disclosure Day, the number one movie in America. It is rated PG-13. It is directed by Steven Spielberg. It is 2 hours and 25 minutes long. Roddy T scores 81% approval by the critics, 72% by the audience. We begin, like we do with all of our movie and TV reviews, spoiler free. Ryan, Disclosure Day, did you like it?
Not really. This falls into the category of one of those movies that, like, is this bad or am I dumb? And I don't think I'm dumb.
I might be dumb, but this also might be bad.
Like, this might just be bad. Like, I don't think I'm that dumb. But, like, I miss, like, the big overarching, like, theme of this whole thing.
Well, I also think a lot of it was just really straightforward. Like, it wasn't very, well, like
too honest. Straightforward.
Well, yeah, no, there was a great line uttered by one of the characters with, like, 20 minutes to go, where the character says, "What is happening?" And I was like, yeah, kinda.
Well, there was also a time where someone gives someone a direct order, because it's like alien. I'm not, this isn't a spoiler. There's aliens in the movie. Woo, right?
No.
But there's like, also there's like government involved. And they're like, someone turns to someone and says, go find the backup generator. And that person turns to a group of people and says the exact same thing, but then ends it with, let's go.
Yeah, let's get going, guys. Let's move with people.
Like, go find the backup generator and shut it down. And they turn, we need to find the backup generator and shut it down. Let's go.
Let's go.
They just, yeah. What that guy just said.
Without the let's go, though, you're kind of just stuck there, yeah. Flat foot.
Right.
You know what? I'll be honest. I think you kind of sniffed this one out weeks ago, because I was pretty excited. I was like, look, Steven Spielberg, which we're going to do a deeper dive on the next episode, obviously has some of the all-time great movies in the history, like literally in the history of movies. But recently, now I haven't seen Fablemans, but recently I feel like there's been more misses than hits. But I was intrigued by the premise of this movie. I like the cast, and obviously I love aliens. So I'm like, I'm in on this. Like, this could be a huge comeback for Spielberg. Like, this was right in his wheelhouse.
Right in his Q zone. But yeah. Here's the problem, right? And why I have problems with alien movies moving forward, right? And all apologies to Mr. Tom DeLonge of Blink 182, but this whole thing with, like, oh, aliens might be here. No, we straight up, the United States government straight up told you they were, and no one cared.
They are here.
It's not science fiction anymore. Nobody cared.
Why does nobody care?
I don't know.
You're not, like, wrong.
It's baffling
me.
Yeah. Like, no, of course, people just assume that they're aliens now. Like, it's not it's not fantastical. It's like, no, they're legitimately, like, spaceships. We've seen this. No one cared.
It's like, on the one hand, some of the stuff that's in the news was almost like good timing for this movie. But then, to your point, so much of the last couple of years is sort of bad, because this should have been a bigger deal. Like, I think if he had made this movie in 2016 instead of 2026, it may have been a bigger deal.
And but then the United States government releases all, actually, yeah, that movie, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, we straight up told you there are aliens and no one gave a shit. So why would we give a shit about this movie?
People won't even look up from their phones to be like, hey, there might be an alien out there, or there's aliens are here, or they left this behind, or they've come in contact with, or this is what they look at. Yeah. People,
like, this is how far gone we are as a society.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Like, forget the fact that, like, people are doing backflips on dirt bikes on the White House lawn and watching people beat each other's brains in. Like, forget that. But, like, we told you straight up that there are aliens, and, like, fine.
Like, yeah, whatever. I'm like,
gas is expensive. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it sure is. That's also true. Yeah. But it's like, man, like, I do love aliens, and I like alien stuff. And But yeah, the problem is the premise of this movie, and this also isn't a spoiler, it's the title of the movie, but it's like Disclosure Day. It's like, we're going to tell you about aliens. Like, yeah, they've been trying to tell us about aliens off and on now for a little while, and yeah, oddly, it is met with like very little enthusiasm at all.
Or like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, you're like, dude, what? Ryan, I came up with, I if you came up with a list too, great. If not, no problem. I came up with my list going into this of top six alien movies.
Oh, Jesus. No, let me do that now.
Top six alien movies. I don't have an order. I could give you an order. Here's my order. And I also, prerequisite, I do not include Star Wars movies.
Okay.
Technically, yes, but also there's no Earth. So, like, sure. I don't, everyone's an alien, right? That's how I would do that. It's a galaxy far, far away. Sure. They're all aliens. In some order, I'm going with, in fact, this might be alphabetical order. I'm going Alien, Aliens, Arrival, District 9, Starship Troopers, and The Thing. Top six alien movies.
Okay.
How'd that grab you?
All right, that's good. Hang on one second. Keep talking.
I've honorable mentions, but I'm sure you might have them if you don't have that as your list. I considered, I like They Live. I like Prey. I liked, Independence Day and Men in Black. If they're on people's lists, I get that, but I was pretty satisfied with this. I think District 9 is like a slept on sci-fi sensation. Arrival is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes. And, so that's on my list.
Okay. What do you got?
So
you got,
Arrival's on my list. So. Here's my six.
Yeah.
Alien.
Yep.
Right. Cause that's like the, sure, the thing.
Yep.
Predator.
Hmm.
Arrival.
Yep.
District 9 and Edge of Tomorrow. I love Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow. Okay. All right. Very
that's
good.
That's a good movie. But I think Arrival like is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
It is. I completely agree. I love, Denis Villeneuve. So good. Super, super good movie. Again, we'll talk about Spielberg a lot coming up. The cast of this movie, Emily Blunt. I think this movie is, if you have issues with it, which I do, I don't think you can really put any of it on the actual cast of the movie.
No.
Right? Like, they do a great job. Emily Blunt's awesome in, I think, every movie she's been in. She's awesome. I'm a big fan. Big fan of her. But she was asked to do what she did. I wonder if it was like, was it just the story or was it the script too? And I was looking at the script. This is a guy. Let me just double check.
So Spielberg wrote the story and then another guy wrote the screenplay.
Yes. It's David Koepp. Maybe Kepper, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
He's done a ton of things and he's worked with Spielberg a ton. So he did the original Jurassic Park. Great. He also did Lost World, War of the Worlds, and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which was dump. And so like he's had his filmography is pretty wild. Like some really good and some really bad. Like it's kind of all over the place. The guy works a lot. He's written a ton of movies. He wrote the first Spider-Man for Raimi.
Yeah, like good for you, man.
Yeah. And like Panic Room, I like Panic Room. But anyway, so guy works a lot and he's worked with Spielberg a lot. But Emily Blunt was great. Josh O'Connor, you
he's
and I both.
He's good. He's good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Colin Firth does a good job of playing like a shit fuck like he always does.
Yeah.
He's annoying. But he's supposed to be annoying.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I'm buying some stock in. I'm not a big day trader, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Eve Hewson.
Yes.
Eve Hewson, who is the daughter of Bono. She is, she was in Jay Kelly last year, but I think the first time I might have saw her, she was in The Perfect Couple, which was a miniseries with Nicole Kidman last year. It was like a whodunit, and it wasn't bad. It was like kind of a okay, fun little trashy TV show. But she was to me like the standout of that show.
And she played, was it Jane or whatever her name was?
Yeah, she played Jane in this. Yeah. So she played
the girlfriend.
Yeah, Daniel's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I like her. I love Colman Domingo in everything he's in, too. Colman Domingo, I'm a fan of. He played Hugo. Wyatt Russell is also in this movie. I don't really care for Wyatt Russell, but
he's wearing a Wolverine jacket.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't really have a whole lot to do in this movie.
No, didn't have to do much.
It's really those first four or five people.
But it's also one of those things, too, I think, where actors get kind of tripped up. Is that, like, if Steven Spielberg asked you to be in, like, his next blockbuster movie, you say yes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
The story kind of is what it is, right? I mean, it's a disclosure day.
Yep.
And they got some good intel
it's
here.
Really convoluted. And there's some characters in there that you're like, okay, why are you here?
I know.
What are you doing?
They also
What's
did
the
try
point
to
of you?
They also mixed in some action. There's a couple big action scenes in this.
Great car chase.
Yeah. 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 And like a train that sequence. Yeah. Talking about that one. Yeah.
Or the one. Yeah. The one right before that.
But I have other stuff I want to get to, but I think I'll just save it for the spoiler part. Yeah, would you call Disclosure Day a must see?
No.
Fuck, you're right. It's not. I've been wrestling with this. And actually, I feel like the longer I've thought about it, kind of the less I like it, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not dumb. And I get what you're, that whole allegory behind this thing, but it's like, you didn't need to do all that.
Yeah.
You know?
I was just disappointed. I'll tell you right off the bat in spoilers, like my main disappointment, which you could probably guess, but I don't think it's a must see, especially with all the movies that are coming out in July.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right.
Save it. But I think you're right. There's just too much coming out. So whether you want to go see Spider-Man or The Odyssey, or you want to see those movies twice, or like some of the stuff that's coming out, even Supergirl and Jackass, like you want to save your $25, $30, like do it. Save your money.
Yeah. I would rather watch old Jackass footage than this movie again.
Yeah, this was overall.
Like, I would pay to see Jackass in the theater if like, oh, you had a choice now, knowing what you know. I would rather watch old Jackass
footage. All right, what do you got? And if you guys are in the chat live on YouTube, you can let us know what your dork score is for Disclosure Day. Davey, what are you gonna go with?
Three and a half.
All right, you gotta pick one for so I make a nice snappy graphic. I can't go three or three and a half.
I'll give Emily Blunt the 3.5 bump. I'll give her the half stone bump.
Yeah, I was debating between those two as well. I think I'll go 3.5. I think I gave Scream 7 a 3.5 though. So like in comparison. So like Back Rooms, I didn't love, and we talked about this last week. Davey made a pretty good case for it, but that's one that's like such a thinker. And I think there were some real strong points in it. And I gave that a 4. And I would say this on my yearly rankings is higher than Disclosure Day. So I think I'll go 3.5. But yeah, that's, I was hoping for a lot more, obviously. So I was pretty disappointed. 3.5 is not like a dump of a score. It's not like a complete punt of 2.5 hours, but I was hoping it was going to be a lot better than it was. So there you go. There's our spoiler free part of Disclosure Day. Let's get to this.
Spoilers! Here come the spoilers!
Yeah.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
You there?
Oh, no.
What happened?
Oh, no. Am I back?
I hear you. Yeah.
All right. I unplugged my ding-dang microphone.
Oh, don't do that. Quit messing with the cards.
I was moved it. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Do you want to guess why I didn't like it as much as I should have?
We're enough aliens.
There was no aliens. There was fucking almost no aliens.
Almost no aliens. And also, like, we're in a spoiler. I didn't hear the thing. We're in the spoilers.
Yeah, we just played the sound.
Okay, so they're like, there's a scene where like Jane and Daniel are like, he's like showing her the footage, right? And there's like these little aliens, and he's like, she's like, are those kids? And he's like, No,
they're fucking aliens. But they're little aliens.
But then the alien at the end is huge.
Giant.
So like those were kids.
Probably. Yeah.
Like that doesn't make any sense to me. But like you said, there's like, for a movie that's about aliens, like actually they're animals,
dude. There's you know, that's so stupid.
What? Like, what was that thing, The Happening, where it was like the trees were killing people?
Yeah, The Happening.
Aliens are wind. Reindeer. Yeah. Aliens are deer and cardinals.
Yeah, they show up as cardinals. Jesus. I've had aliens at my bird feeder all spring. They're just fucking staring at me. No, that sucked. I hated that part of it. I was like, not only was there not sweet alien action, it was essentially just sad alien action. It was footage of little aliens getting tortured. Then it was just kidding. They're actually like giant reindeer. And then at the very end, they like wheeled one out that looked dead until it stood up and fucking whispered a little something, something into O'Connor's ear. I'm like,
but we're not going to tell you what it was.
That's the other part I didn't like about it. They basically go Sopranos ending where the alien stands up, whispers into Daniel's ear. Daniel then tells Margaret what it is. And then she stands up and she starts by saying, or only says, listen. And then it cuts.
But this is the thing where I'm like, I'm not dumb. Like I didn't miss the point. Like the whole point of this, I get it, is that like the treatment of people who are different than us. And like the point is we need to listen to people and hear what they have to say, because even though their language is different, we speak this universal language of empathy and humanity and like all these things like these elite are doing to us, that like, you know, the information's controlled by all the elite and all we have to do is listen. I get it. It's just stupid.
I also was blown away as somebody who is currently in a form of media, Bragg. I was shocked at the importance of broadcast TV news and how they thought that like this was going to be it. Like we need to get to the station in Kansas City. We need to broadcast this news. Cause like once we start broadcasting the news, I'm like, in today's day and age, it would not be from that. It would be.
You want to see how I would do it?
Yeah. On your phone. Like ding. Yep.
Just hold my phone up and put it on the internet. It'll be out there in a second.
Like, right? No. We got to get in. We got to scrap the coverage of this Kansas City news. But I'm like, hey, good.
Keep and
pumping up local broadcasts.
And isn't the whole thing with this world right now is that people don't trust broadcast media?
Fake news. Yeah, they wouldn't have believed. They wouldn't have bought it.
They wouldn't have bought it. They're like, that's AI.
AI shit. AI junk.
Yeah.
But basically, this movie, I think it can be boiled down like this. The U.S. government has known about aliens crashing into Earth and having aliens be here for many, many years. I think they said at one point, like 70 something years, they've known about it. And in the case of this movie, as kids, both Emily Blunt's character and Josh O'Connor's character were visited by aliens who then bestowed upon them these like superpowers that didn't come out until much later. And so Emily Blunt can basically at times, instead of like blacking out, she knows like every information about people that she sees. Right. So she can make eye contact with somebody and be like, oh, like you, you know, spilled milk today, like when you were making cereal. Like she just like knows that stuff. And then Josh O'Connor can understand this language. So like Emily Blunt was on the news and she started speaking like alien. And Josh O'Connor was the only guy that could hear that. And then you have these different entity or these different groups, this Ward X and all these other guys that are trying to fight for the, this different power to like control it.
And this is like the, here I'm going to bookend this with a hot take, right? Or not bookend, I'm going to end this with a hot take, but like Colin Firth's character, right? They're like, him and Coleman Domingo are having this like really overwritten conversation about like their motivations. And it basically boils down to that Colin Firth is mean to aliens because his wife died.
Yeah. Yep. And then he saw her face. Yep.
Which leads me to this take. Steven Spielberg can't write bad guys unless they're animals or Nazis. he can't write the motivation for a bad guy can't be like my wife died. You know what I mean? Because remember him and Colin Domingo are having this whole conversation. Creative.
Yeah,
they're having this whole conversation about like why they did what they did and why he let the alien go or he let some of them go and how he lost touch with humanity. You know?
Yeah, like, you're not wrong. Nazis and animals, creatures. Yeah,
that's it. And that's so
kind of
the other thing. Colin Firth. What's his name? Scanlan.
Yeah, Noah Scanlan. Yep,
has two like henchmen.
Yeah,
what are their names? Don't look.
Oh, I don't. I have no idea.
You have no idea. Like, and that guy who like storms out at the end, who's like, "What is the point of you?"
Oh yeah,
no, you did nothing. You tried to like ram him into a train. You couldn't even do that. And he even like says at the beginning of the movie, "He's like, how'd that guy get away from you? He's a computer guy."
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And he's like, "How did he get away from you? You stink." And then he continues to get away from him.
There was like multiple scenes. There was multiple scenes of like, all right, we got you now. And then he takes off. Yeah. And then they're like gone for a little while. Then it's like, yeah, we got you now. And it's like, take off again. I'm like, hey. All right. One of the questions of the movie too is, would you give this information? So it's an argument that, or not an argument, it's a conversation that Josh O'Connor's Dr. Daniel Kellner has with his girlfriend, Jane Blankenship. And he's basically like, people deserve to know this. And she's like, well, do you need to be the one that tells them all this?
Well, no. And then it spirals into like, he just showed her definitive evidence that like people are interrogating, torturing, and like keeping secrets like about these aliens to people. And her first thing is like, what about God? And he's like, what the fuck? I just showed you. He's like, this is going to ruin people's faith in God. He's like, what? First of all, she's like, yo, by the way, I was almost a nun. He's like, hang on, wait a minute. Like, what does that storyline have to do with anything?
Yeah, they definitely wanted to work in a real religious part into this.
And like, there's one point she like borrows a phone to like call like the Mother Superior at like her own convent to like ask. And she like, what if God says we are his greatest creation? And and she like quotes something from the Bible and the Mother Superior's like, no, he says we're his greatest creation on earth.
On earth. Was that Genesis? Like,
you wouldn't know the end of that line.
Yeah. Well, she dropped out. So maybe she wasn't very good at it.
But like, what the fuck? Like, why is that a question
that they're asking? Is like, for those that do believe in God, and if you do believe that God created everything, do you believe in it? And if aliens do exist, do you believe that God created aliens?
Well, if God created the universe, then God created everything in the universe, right? You can't, it didn't just create earth.
Can't pick and choose. Right. He's like, just
and earth. I hate to break it to some people listening to this, but Jesus wasn't from America. Jesus didn't know what America was. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
Jesus isn't like pro-America. Like America didn't exist.
I think he would like it now, though.
I don't think so.
maybe not. He ends up, obviously, he's the whistleblower in this whole thing, and he fights through and gets the information. And it is just like a back and forth between Colin Firth and Coleman Domingo, which does kind of lose you a little bit. And it's like they spend a lot of time on it.
I started referring to the things they kept holding, like as the spirit stick. Like if you're holding the spirit stick, like you can talk and you have all the powers if you're holding the spirit stick.
Controller. Yeah. Right.
And
he's like, you don't know how to use this. And he has that scene where he like gets into Jane's mind, just like find out where they are.
Yeah.
But then
there's a great line. He's like, what's it? The guy goes, you don't know how to use that. And he goes, I've seen you use it. So like,
then another guy was like, is it true if you don't use it, you lose it? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, that was.
This is silly. This is a silly movie.
there wasn't nearly enough aliens, right? Like, I'm not crazy. Aliens.
No, but you did see them. You saw them.
Yeah, but you saw little guys getting tortured, which I didn't care for.
You saw them. You saw them.
Not enough. And also, it's funny.
There were some deer looking at the guy.
Fox. Oh, I love a fox.
I do love a fox.
Fox is a really good, really good, real creature, but it was an alien. Yeah, but like that's bullshit because they have started to, and like usually if there's a movie I want to see, I actually don't even really watch the trailers too much. I don't want to be spoiled. But somebody was even saying, like, in the most recent trailer, like they showed more alien. And I'm like, man, that's a real misdirect. Cause there fucking are almost no aliens in this.
They showed all the aliens in the trailer.
Yeah.
Also, how did that big deer get in the room?
I don't know.
Into little what's her name's room. Miss Fairchild's room.
Fucking kick a door down or something.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty loud.
She just woke up and he was just staring at like a full ass deer in her room.
Yeah, he's in there. I also, and maybe I was zoning out at this point. I don't really understand the way. So they like created Emily Blunt's like childhood home so she could like re-trigger that memory, right? Yes. But then when the other group showed up to get her, then like they couldn't see that part. I was like confused.
She was holding the spirit stick. So she was like shielding them from.
So that was just it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was that whole thing they shoehorned in about her dad having Parkinson's.
Yep. Yep.
Like.
Cause then she thought maybe she did, but they're like, no, you don't.
And then she started crying about how I was like, this big thing she's divulging to this complete stranger that she didn't want to be around his dad and he was dying and she's guilty about it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. But there's people shooting at us right now. Can
we got to kind of table this pin in this and then we can circle back.
It sounds like something for a therapist and not me. Right.
What do you think the big alien does on a normal day? Like what's the a 9-to-5 look like for that big alien that they wheeled out at the end of the movie?
See, I am of the belief because like, you know, you hear all like, you know, about probing. I bet he's getting probed.
You think he's doing a little bit or he's getting probed.
He's getting probed. Like we talk about them doing it to other people. I mean, he's the one getting probed.
That guy didn't look like he was having like the best time. And they like wheeled him out in like a big zipper bag. Like, I like that.
And they just like stands up. He's huge. So like, yes, they were torturing little alien kids.
Yeah, that's fucked.
It's fucked.
All right, unless what do you think?
Shrunk him.
What do you think he said to Daniel? So he whispered into Daniel, then Daniel relayed it to Margaret, then Margaret was about to say what it was. You think it's like, listen up, we're taking everything. Said, we're taking ask, this.
Ask her. I want you to go over there and ask her if she likes me or like likes me.
Ask her if she likes anybody from the lab.
Yeah. And like, see what she says.
Yeah.
I think that was the conversation. Yeah.
Or he said, ass, cash, or grass, nobody rides for free.
Yes.
Because he wants to sleep with the humans. Do you think there's any cross sex happening between the alien and any of the human characters?
God, I hope so.
Yeah. Because also, good news is the alien could shapeshift into like a grizzly bear and make love or like a horse.
That's right.
We somehow Mr. Hands came up on the radio show the other day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So then I was like, and now I'm like, now that I think about it, I'm like, was Mr. Hands the guy or the horse? Either way, it's a nightmare. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter, which is which.
It doesn't matter.
I think it might have been the guy who sadly is mistreating animals in the sky right now, but
that's allegedly right.
He's dead for sure.
He died
from that act.
Yeah.
Killed him. The horse killed him.
Where are the two girls from the infamous Two Girls One Cup video now? What are they doing?
I don't know. They can't.
Would you know them if you bumped into them on the street? Probably not.
I bet they have a podcast. That's my guess.
We should invite them on.
No, we should.
What have you been up to these days?
Like, are you guys jealous of the Hawk Tua girl? Because she kind of really. She had
doing it. She just said it.
What she did is talk, and then she made a Bitcoin, robbed everybody blind.
Oh, which I think she says she didn't know that that was a thing. I completely believe her. She's so stupid.
Oh, yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Oh, man. That's good. That's just good stuff. What else about this movie? Anything else? Oh, let's do podium. 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 For me, I'm going to tell you what. On the gold is going to be Jane. I'm a big fan of Jane Eve Hewson. So I'll go Jane 1. I'm going to go Emily Blunt 2. And Josh O'Connor 3. What do you got? Your mic's broken. You broke your mic. You start talking about Mr. Hands, and the next thing you know, thing goes under. That would be my big three. And, oh, we didn't do this either, but if...
What the fuck?
If we had a what the fuck moment, it would probably be for me just when the movie ended and you realize they were like, we had like 10 seconds of actual alien footage in the whole movie.
That's, I don't know what you just said, but that... What did you say?
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh. I was saying, did you have a specific what the fuck moment? Because to me, it was just like in general, there not being a lot of aliens. or I mean, honestly, like the first time she did the alien voice is like a good what the fuck, but that also happened in the trailer. So it's
happened in the trailer. So it's like there was nothing surprising about this. This was the most like uninspired
alien movie by numbers.
Now, for people like Spielberg and Scorsese who are talking about like formulaic comic book movies, like this was the most like paint by numbers thing I'd ever seen from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, this is maybe his fourth best alien movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Or fifth. Like it's like not even top three of his own alien movies.
So it did not crack your top 10 Spielberg movies for the next episode?
Jesus. Please us. It did not. This is probably like if I did like a top 25, it might sneak in the back door.
Yeah, and I think this was his 35th movie, because as we'll discuss coming up, we're just doing movies that he directed. There's a ton of movies that he produced, a ton of movies that he had the story for. There's even a bunch of movies that he like helped direct. But we're going with just like the straight up 35 movies that he directed. We're gonna have our own top tens, but all right,
so for instance, so he wrote and produced Poltergeist but did not direct it,
right? So like hands all over that, a few other ones too, like Goonies, but like we're not going to include,
yeah, right,
which is too bad. But I mean, his filmography is still pretty impressive even when you just take those ones. So anything else on Disclosure Day before we get out of here and go over to the top 10?
Okay, this is the first time I'm gonna tell you to skip this movie. Just skip it. It's frustrating. It's a frustrating movie. It's visually, it's good enough to give it like a 3, 3.5, but like,
yeah.
And the actors are good enough.
But the actors are good, and it is a Spielberg movie, but yeah, it was disappointing. You know what it felt like was like, even though it's almost like a bad Mission Impossible where like it just kind of keeps going and you're just like, all right, like
looking at your watch, like,
yeah,
like 2.5.
It felt like 2.5 hours. Yeah.
You did the first hour, you did nothing.
No, if anything, the last 20 minutes were like decent, and then it was, but you had 2 hours to get there.
Right.
It's a journey.
Talking about aliens.
It's a journey and a half.
Spirit stick.
Yeah.
Instacart makes grocery shopping easier. And just because you're not doing the shopping yourself doesn't mean you don't care how it's done. With Instacart shopper notes, you can get particular about what you want right in the app. Like rotisserie chicken that's extra crispy, cheddar that's sharp as your skates, and lettuce you'd actually pick yourself. Just leave a note for your shopper so they can get it right for you without having to ask. That way, you can get groceries just how you like. Download the Instacart app and shop today. Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
All right, very good. Tell a friend, tell a dork, and if you're watching live on YouTube right now, jump over to the other link where we will talk top 10 Steven Spielberg movies. In the meantime, Davey, stay hard and stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.